Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So Pinnacle Days, that's what I really want to look at. Pinnacle Days are days that, you know, they often start out just kind of ordinary, just kind of regular. But when they're over, things will never be the same. There are good ones and there are bad ones. Most everybody here, well, actually not. I keep forgetting how long ago this was. But September 11th, 2001, many of you here remember that day when the planes started hitting buildings, and you probably remember where you were. That was a weird day for me because at that time I was riding my bicycle into work, and it was a 15-mile trek, and I had actually been taking my time that day. I was running a little early, so I had no idea what was going on in the world. I was just riding my bike and enjoying the scenes, but I had forgotten my ID, and my ID got me into the secure area of where I was working. And it's been done before. There's usually five or six people a day, and so you go up to the guardhouse, and you say, I forgot my ID, I need my manager to come out and escort me in, and they just kept staring at me, and they weren't calling my manager. I'm like, what's going on? And they wouldn't tell me. They had just gotten the news of the attacks, and they were still kind of reeling from the shock of hearing it and doing their job of securing the area, and they just weren't telling me what was going on. So I remember that day very, very vividly. For some of you, maybe this is a more striking day, is the day when Kennedy got shot. Some of you remember exactly where you were when you heard that. Those kind of days are pinnacle days. They mark you. They change you, right? One for our family is Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th of 2018 is when two kids came into our lives, and I'm not much of one for luck, but if there's anything to be said about Friday the 13th, it was the luckiest day of our lives, because our lives will never be the same, and it is awesome to have these two kids with us. Pinnacle days. In the gospel reading, you heard about a pinnacle day. It took place 40 days after Jesus' birth. Mary and Joseph and Jesus are arriving at the temple. They made that 10-mile or so trek from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. It was the day set for Mary's purification after childbirth and for Jesus' presentation in accordance with the Torah law of God. But it was a day like any other day. You know, maybe we envision what it might have been like. Maybe it was blue sky, birds are singing, and, you know, maybe pigeons are flying around the temple courtyards. Who knows? Whatever. It's stuff you see in the movies, right? And Mary and Joseph were probably not the only couple bringing a child to be dedicated at the temple that day. That was something that happened all the time. They may have even had to stand in line. We don't really know, but it just started out as a regular day, just another family, just another sacrifice, just another presentation. But after this day, things would never be the same. Things would never be the same for Simeon, who had finally received what he had been promised from God. He was not ready to die. He had seen the Messiah, the Holy Christ of God, as he held baby Jesus in his own arms. He says, "Now I am ready to depart in peace." You know, the thing is, we don't actually know how old Simeon was. We always kind of assume he was old because Anna's old, but we don't know that. The Bible doesn't say how old he was. He could have been 20. We don't really know how old he was, but we do know that he believed in God, trusted in God, and had the privilege of holding his Savior. Then there's Anna. We don't think about how old Anna was. In these days, people didn't live this long. It says she'd been married for 7 years. So that probably happened at age 12 or 13. That puts her at 20 when her husband died. And she's been a widow for 87 years. That puts her at 107 at the youngest. She's seen a lot of life. She spent her whole time fasting and praying, and living day and night in the temple courtyard. And after so many years, she is given the privilege of seeing her Savior. And she can't stop telling everybody about the wonder of it. That was a pinnacle day for her. How about Mary and Joseph? Things would certainly never be the same for them. How could they be after seeing and hearing all of this? I mean, they knew who Jesus was, right? I mean, a month and a half earlier, well, even no, and then 9 months before that, right? Gabriel actually came. God sent Gabriel to tell them, this is going to be the Son of God. They knew who Jesus was, but things had been quiet for the last month and a half. You know, the shepherds came in and the angels were out singing in the fields, but since then, it's been kind of quiet. But here they are at the temple, and all the ruckus starts up again. And they hear Jesus is the one appointed for the rising and the falling of many in Israel. Simeon, Anna, Mary, Joseph, those are the people we think about when we hear this reading in our gospel. These people whose lives were permanently and forever changed. But in all this account, and when we think of these things, when we try to stand in their shoes and wonder what it was like being in the temple that day, and we see all these various pictures that artists have put together to try to capture that moment, there's probably someone you haven't thought of, and someone whose life was changed permanently that day. That person is you. We don't often think of putting ourselves there because, I mean, right, that sounds a bit odd. You weren't even alive. Your grandparents weren't alive. Your great-great-great-grandparents weren't even alive yet. But this is a pinnacle day for you because of what Jesus did. You see, he came in to step into our place, to be our substitute. And on that day, Scripture tells us, Jesus begins the work of fulfilling the Torah law of God, of fulfilling the Old Testament law. We always talk about the Ten Commandments, but the truth is, if you read through the whole Old Testament, there are 613 commandments. And Jesus is fulfilling each and every one of them. There are hundreds and hundreds of prophecies about what he would be and who he would be, and he's fulfilling each and every one of them. And here's where that starts. It's a pinnacle day for us because it teaches us about what Jesus is still doing for us right here, right now, today. Think about this. Think about where it takes place. It takes place in the temple. Now, in the Old Testament, where do you go when you want to seek the Lord? Where can he be found? In the Old Testament, if you're going to present your firstborn son in accordance with Torah law, you must go to the temple, which for those folks sounded like a pretty ordinary, regular thing to do. The temple is where worship happened, except for this fact. And I wonder if they even thought about it at the time. But this temple, God has never shown himself visibly. He had come to the other temples, but never to this one. He'd never shown himself physically. The first was the tabernacle, right? God instructed Moses how to build that movable tent that went with them 40 years in the wilderness, and then through the judges, and then through the first couple kings, right? When that was dedicated to worship of our God, smoke filled it so much that the priests couldn't stay inside. They had to get out because God was showing in a cloud of smoke and light that he was present. And then, right, you get through, they get the kings and you get Saul and he's rejected, and then David. And David wants to build the temple, but God says, a temple can be built, but not by you. And then we get to Solomon and he builds a temple. This thing is covered in tons of gold and precious woods, and it is a wonder to behold. To dedicate it to the Lord, he sacrifices tens of thousands of animals. And God shows himself in that cloud and smoke, and his presence fills the temple. God showed himself in that temple, but God said this temple wouldn't stand if they didn't continue to worship God, and And they didn't, and God kept his word. And the time came when Babylon came to Israel and took all that stuff, all that gold and precious wood and all the wonders in it, back to the Babylonian treasury. And the temple was laid to waste. And it took 70 years, and then the exiles get to return, and they start rebuilding the temple. And when they're done, they want to dedicate it to the Lord. And on the day they dedicate it, they weep and they cry, because it is such a dim shadow of the temple Solomon had built. It was kind of pathetic. And when they dedicated it, God did not show himself. God had never physically shown himself in this temple. And now we get to this moment. I think God had something else in mind. God didn't show himself in a cloud of glory because he was going to show himself in flesh and blood. And here, at this moment, on this day, the sovereign God, our Savior, is showing himself in his temple for the very first time, in flesh and blood. But this temple isn't going to last either. About 70 years after this day, Rome comes in and destroys this temple. Why does God allow this temple to be destroyed? Because he doesn't need it anymore. Now God's going to build his own temple, his own work, his own construction, and that temple is his church. No longer a physical place. It's a place, though, a holy place, where we go to find the gracious and available presence of God, where we go in times of trouble or pinnacle days of calamity or wonder. But it's not a building. It's not a place. It is the place, however, where we go to receive the flesh and blood of our Savior, as we'll do soon in his Holy Supper, where we are fed and we are strengthened. He has come to us through his new temple, found in the means of grace. Where else do you go to seek the Lord where he may be found and call on him while he is near? In holy baptism, where we are cleansed and made holy. When we hear God's word and we hear of his forgiveness, right? Here is where God is present for you in flesh and blood, in grace and forgiveness, in comfort and in hope. In times of trouble or times of joy. It's those times of trouble when people ask the question, though. Where was your God? When those planes hit the building, where was your God? Thought Kennedy was a Christian. Why didn't God save him? Where is your God? You hear that often. Well, the faithful know. We know. He's not just our sovereign. He's not distant and aloof. He's our substitute. And he has said he will always be with us. And he has always been with us. He will always be with us. Trouble comes in this world. And someday, when that trouble comes, it will kill you. That's what life in a sin-filled world does. But know on that day, for the faithful, Jesus is with you. And he will catch you in his arms and carry you safely home. You see, the times when he seems furthest away are actually when he is the closest. Those are words that you ought to really hear. The times when he seems furthest away are actually when he is the closest. And he's not there to punish us. He's there to purify us. He's not detached and aloof, but he is active and saving. He is near. He's as near as the waters of your baptism. He is as near as the body and blood given for you. He is as near as his forgiveness and his promise. All of these things testify to your Savior, who is here for you. He's here for you to touch, to taste, to feel, to see. He's here to save you. If you know the details about this event, this day, no lamb was sacrificed, which is part of Torah law. Unless you're broke, then you can just offer two birds. But I think, and that technically, right, that's what we say. Mary and Joseph were just too broke poor. They couldn't afford the lamb, so they offered the two birds. But maybe God was at work here too. Maybe he wants us to see the Lamb who will be sacrificed, but not just for some sins, but for all of the sins of the whole world. Jesus, the Lamb of God, is being presented at the temple, but the time for his sacrifice has not yet come, and so the Lamb is not yet sacrificed. And when all was accomplished, he would then be sacrificed on the altar of a cross to redeem you, to pay the price for you, to purchase you for his Father, for heaven, and for eternity. And the way Luther says, not with silver or gold, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. That should give you enormous confidence and hope, knowing that our Savior has taken care of all of our mess and has provided a sure and certain future. That should give you the confidence and the ability to live each and every day, to live without fear of times of trouble, which always come, to live without fear of pinnacle days of tragedy, which often come, and to live without fear that this day might be your last. Sometimes you think, I better make sure everything's in order, because you never know when it will come. And the truth is, you don't. But it's not your job to make sure everything is in order, not the important things, because everything is already in order. Jesus has done that for you, not because of who you are, but because of what he did for you, because of him being your substitute. That's what we sang about in that last verse of the sermon hymn, right? Jesus, by your presentation, when they blessed you, weak and poor, make us see your great salvation, seal us with your promise sure, and present us in your glory to your Father, cleansed and pure. In other words, Jesus' presentation was for you a pinnacle day, a day that points to another pinnacle day, the last day, that day when we will stand weak and poor before the throne of a holy God. That should be intimidating, but we can have no fear, because on that day, it'll be Jesus doing the presenting as he carries you to your Father, cleansed and pure, and instilled with all of the rights and privileges and inheritance given to a child of the Father. And that pinnacle day will certainly be a day that will change your future forever. Because from that moment on, you live in a world where sin can never reach and never touch you again. That day will bring the eternal day of heaven, when our weak and poor bodies will be changed into glorious bodies. That is the promise that you have been given, and that is the day to which you can look forward to with eager anticipation. In Jesus' name, amen.